How are you? I'll take that as an affirmative. You need sunglasses if you can stand here, love. You die victims of a love that was corrupting the translation. We think of all the time that I spent sitting on the end of your bed in anticipation of you giving in and us releasing. A hot dye, the smell of his brain, the sound of a shower running softly. Things like this that remind me how I felt the first time you came back for coffee. The way you took it amazed me. Walking in the park, kissing in the dark, and my head against your pillow. Scenes as a man deep, I find it out all about love. Yeah. I say as a man deep, I find it out all about love. All about love, yeah. There is no real substitute for a ball struck squarely and firmly. You're the kind of girl who wants to open up a bottle of pop too early in the journey. And love went flat just like that. Doesn't matter the colour of the carpet, what goes on beneath the bonnet. Is there a flag that flies above your heart? Is my name with there upon me? Wedding cake and toothache, because love and pain, love and pain. Walking in the park, kissing on the carpet, and your tights around your ankles. Late at night, a lover thinks of these things. At a man deep, I'm finding out all about love. I say, at a man deep, I'm finding out all about love. And Eve, I'm finding out all about Adam and Eve. I'm finding out all about Teresa and Steve. I'm finding out all about love. All about love. The sharp among you will have discerned that my singing voice is not as it should be this evening, and I'm afraid I've done a terrible thing on this tour. I've spent so much time talking to Americans about trying to explain Brexit to Americans and the similarities between that and the election of 45 that I've somewhat taken part of my fabulous vocal range out. I wish it was that. Actually, I've been using my off days to talk about skiffle. I've been moonlighting as an author, whilst forgetting that I need my voice for singing. So, we're in a kind of strange situation tonight, in that I'm not going to be able to sing in the fabulous way that I've been singing since Joe Henry taught me how to sing a bit lower than I normally sing. But for those of you who enjoyed my early albums, it didn't sound like that, really. I once did a gig. It was the night we were in Nottingham in England. It was the night of West Ham got in the cup final. And I was so excited by this that I did the whole of The Life's a Riot with Spy vs. Spy as an encore. As a dare, the album itself is 17 minutes long and I did it in 16 and a half minutes. And it nearly killed me. And I was young then. And I was touring at the time with Ian McLagan, rest his soul, and great Ian McLagan. And in the dressing room, trying to get my breath back under a towel, McLagan said to my manager, Pete Jenner, he said, "Wow, that was incredible." He said, "I feel as if I've seen Bill, you know, in his right in his early days to see that." And Pete, bless his soul, said, "Oh, no, Mac. He couldn't sing those songs for Toffees back then. He was shit singing about it. Now he can really sing them." So I'm afraid we're going back to that original. I've taken all the precautions I can think of. Strum the guitars down a whole tone. Show songs that aren't in that weird key. I've got a running order, but it's going to be a bit provisional tonight. So we'll just see where we get to, shall we? In a company town, and I work real hard till that company closed down. They gave my job to another man. I'll have my wages in some foreign land. And when I asked, how could that be any good for our economy? I was told, nobody cares so long as they make money when we sell their shares. Can you hear us? Are you listening? No power without accountability. Yeah. I lost my job, my car, and my house. From 10,000 miles away, some guy clicked on my mouse. Didn't know me, we never spoke. He didn't ask my opinion or canvass for my vote. I guess it's true, nobody cares till those petrol bombs come spinning through the air. Gotta find a way to hold them to account. Recorded by the way to snuff our voices out. Can you hear us? Are you listening? No power without accountability, yeah. The ballot box is no guarantee that we achieve democracy. Our leaders claim their victory when only half the people have spoken. There is no job security in this global economy. Our borders closed to refugees, but our markets forced open. The World Bank says to Mexico, won't cut you off if you don't keep your taxes low. They have no right to wield that sword. They take their orders from the chairman of the board. IMF, WTO, I hear these words just every place I go. Who are these people who elected them? And how do I replace them with some of my friends? Can you hear us? Are you listening? No power without accountability. Are you listening? No power without accountability. Are you listening? No power without accountability. with Pete Senior here tonight.
Yeah!
Good old Pete. I only mention that because towards the end of his life, he kind of stopped singing and all. And just kind of did. I did a gig once in Minneapolis. It was my fault. I'd been at South by Southwest. And I had unfortunately mistimed my laundry days. So, as a result of that, we had to fly from, well, we didn't have to fly, we flew. But I had to travel from the heat of Texas to Minneapolis in a style that we refer to in my country as commando. I'm hoping it means the same thing here. And I thought it'd be cool, it was warm in Texas, I'll get away with that, it'll be okay. When we got to Minneapolis, it was freezing cold. And as a consequence, I lost my voice completely, Not just a bit to talk here, but really short. Gone. And in the sound check, it was just heartbreaking. I really didn't know what to do. And I said to my manager again, the fabulous Peter Jenner, bless him. I said to him, Pete, what am I going to do? All these people are coming to this bar. It was a bit like this. And this bar tonight, you hear me sing, and I've got no voice. And he put his arm around me, Bill. He says, you know what, Bill? Nobody comes to hear you sing. And he was right. He was absolutely right, because the wham was, it turned into a bit of a Pete Seeger night, because I played the songs and they sang them. They shouted them out what I wanted to sing, and I played it and they sang it. And it's very seldom, it must have been about 20 years ago, it's very seldom I ever do a gig in Minneapolis when someone don't say to me, when are we going to do that sing-along thing again? It was such great fun. And it is always those, you know, those nights where you absolutely make a total pranny of yourself. The people say, oh, I enjoyed that. That was good. Now. Why are you going to do that again? Well, mate, I left my ass hanging out there. So, with that in mind, I will be relying on you to help me out on the chorus and the high part. And particularly, I think today is Kirsty McColl's birthday. She would have been 58. She would have been 58 years, and she always helped me out with singing. Unless we were singing New England together on the radio, which we did a few times, she always did it in her key, not my key. But that's her prerogative, because it's as much her song as it was my song. And so yeah, if you want to, let's all remember Kirsty and let's all sing along tonight and see how far we can get. What about that? Hey? Up in the morning and out to school. Mother says there'll be no work next year. Qualifications, what's the golden rule? Now just pieces of paper, just because job in last year's classes with your old school shoes. To be sung, it's a buyer's market. They can afford to pick and choose. Just because I'm a narcissist. Factories are closing and the army's full. I don't know what I'm going to do. Come to see in the land of the free. There's only a future for the chosen few. Just because you're on top of the scrap, even 16 you were top of your class. a Jew school, was that to be a good worker? The system has failed, you don't fail, you'll see. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because you're going forwards doesn't mean I'm going backwards. Thank you. I did a talk last night about the Skiffle Book at the Grammy Museum, and it was unfortunate because the only voice I had, it was a kind of mixture between a sort of Marlon Brando in the later version of The Godfather, kind of a slow kind of, and this kind of East End villain voice.
Oh yeah, right mate. Lonnie Donegan, like when he come down here, like Mr. Muscles. Mr. Knuckles come down, didn't he? Sort it out.
So, it's kind of, imagine it's like you've gone to Bob Dylan, expecting it to sound like his 1960s records. Think of it in that way, and we'll see how close we can get to it. I did think about cancelling it because of my voice, but then I thought after what happened in Trinidad tonight, you'd need lifting up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard the news, but I'm afraid the United States soccer team was failed to qualify for the World Cup. They were defeated 2-1 by Trinidad and Tobago, I'm afraid. Well, you'll be pleased to know, sir, that President Trump has already tweeted how unfair it is that America has to play two teams. And everybody else only played one team, bounded by Trinidad and Tobago. This is like, that's sad, isn't it? It's fake news. It's sad. If it's any consolation, and it never was, never is, it was results elsewhere that done for you in the end, rather than you put your fate into someone else's hands, which sometimes happens in soccer. England qualified for the World Cup in the most boring and pedestrian way possible. You now have the sorrow of not going to the World Cup. We have the indignity of going there. And you know who knocked us out of the last championships? Iceland. Fucking Iceland. Who just qualified for the World Cup last weekend as the smallest nation to ever qualify for the World Cup. And they knocked us out. So, you were saved that indignity for not being up there on the world stage and getting shafted by Bjork and her mates. Which is never nice. It's never nice. It's never nice. You gotta get, the thing about qualifying for the World Cup is you get your hopes up and all that like sort of thing, isn't it? It's like just managing to get the playoffs and a wild card, and it's all, you know, or so I'm told. It may have been Camelot for Jack and Jacqueline, but on Hugo Chavez Highway, filling up with gasoline. Fidel Castro's brother spies a rich lady's crying over luxury's disappointment, so he walks over and he's trying to sympathise with her, and he thinks that he should order that the third world, or you know where he is, I have to tell you. Former Soviet Union, the citizens demand to know why they're still the target of strategic air command, and they shake their fists in anger and respectfully suggest you take your money from your missiles and spend it on healthcare instead. Sound of someone stacking chairs and mopping up spilled beer, and someone asking questions, basking in the light Up the love, 15, 5, 12 seconds, the fanzine writes out. I'd probably be a podcast maker, wouldn't it? Fucking everywhere else. If the skiffle hadn't got me the podcast, we'd write it. Mixing pop and politics, he asked me what the use is. I offer him embarrassment and my usual excuses while walking down the corridor out to where the van is waiting. I'm looking for another froco. Jumble sales are organised. All my mates got fat. Even after all this time, you can still send me a fax. You can be active with the active whistle, sleeping with the sleepers while you're waiting for the great leap forwards. Now one leap forwards, two leaps back. Will politics get me sacked? Waiting for the great leap forwards. Well, here comes the future and you can't run from it. You've got a tattoo, I wanna be on it. Waiting for the great leap forwards. In a perfect world we'd all sing in tune, but there ain't nobody that can sing like me tonight anyway. There's no one out there understands. Start your own revolution, cut out the middleman. Waiting for the great leap forwards. So join the struggle while you may. A revolution's just a t-shirt away. When you're waiting for the great leap forwards. Year, with all this stuff going down, the everything in 2016, I found myself touring the world with my dear friend Joe Henry, singing about trains. Now, it may seem an odd thing to be doing in the face of Brexit at 45, but you got to understand that when we were on the train in March making those records, had we seen what was in store, we'd gone straight out. I put a load of money on Leicester City to win the championship and the Cubs to win the Super Bowl. So, yeah, we didn't clock it. We didn't see it in the end. But while we were touring, I found myself taking my anger out by writing 1,000-word screeds on Facebook, which is a social media site. Very popular with young people and hecklers. And I kind of was doing like almost like one every weekend, just you know, like a boiling kettle. And over Christmas, I sort of took a bit of a break and kind of came back to my desk between Christmas and New Year. All these scraps of paper, notes on, or the sort of, you know, the bullet points on my next angry Facebook rant. And I was thinking to myself, you know, these little bits of paper, I used to write songs like that. So, seeing as how, despite what we might think, fulminating on Facebook doesn't really have that much effect, I made my New Year's resolution was to stop ranting on Facebook and start writing songs again. That's how I lost my voice. If I'd have stuck to Facebook, I'd still be rattling off like a crazy man. Actually, having said that, I knocked 600 words this afternoon because of what shit's going on Brexit. I'm not going to tell you about it now because it's about as complicated as cricket for you Americans. So, it's not even go there. Let's just say that, kind of like, you've only got Trump. You think that's bad? We've got him and Brexit. And you can vote that fucker out, you know. Brexit is like decapitation, it only happens once. So, anyway, I decided to get back to writing songs, and I've been sort of releasing these songs as they come over the last few months. I'm going to play a few of them for you tonight. I've no idea what it'll sound like with this voice on, but this first one, takes its cues from a 18th century Spanish engraver. Was he Catalan? I'm not sure if he was. No, I don't think he was. I appreciate that, yeah. Close by. Yeah, but the question is, all that Catalonia shit, what league are Barcelona going to play in? Because it better not be the Premiership. This Spanish etching guy, his name was Francisco Goya. He's very political. And a lot of his work is in the Prado, if you ever get to Madrid, beautiful work. But something that he did, really kept coming back to me as last year unfolded, he did an etching called The Sleep of Reason Produces Monsters. And that kind of had a resonance with me, so it became the kind of way into to write about what happened last year. That's what this song is called. It's called The Sleep of Reason. One by one, the stars grow dim and fall out of the sky, and we gather round our shiny screens to say a last goodbye in communion with a bunch of folks that we don't know or see, in the hope that we might feel something in place of empathy. And so it goes. Is it wrong to live in the past when life comes at you so fast? And the sleep of reason produces monsters. And the sleep of reason produces monsters. Lies right in style on a big red bus while you walk into town, and surrogates keep their cat locks on to shout each other down. And the levees that protect your truth no longer hold the flood, and expertise and experience get trampled in the mud. And so it goes. There's nothing that you can do to convince them that it's true. And the sleep of reason produces monsters. And the sleep of reason produces monsters. It's over now, you lost my friend. Vaughn just let it go, says a man who flies a Confederate flag on his profile just for show. When he hears someone point out that things are much too male and white, well, he eases off the safety catch on his Second Amendment rights. And so it goes. Alright, giving license to all this hate is gonna make our country great. And the sleep of reason produces monsters. And the sleep of reason produces monsters. In this constant state of what the fuck just happened, you feel woke, but through it all, you treat it like it's just some kind of joke. And in the end, the greatest threat Faced by democracy, isn't fascism or fanaticism, but our own complacency. And so it goes. Best pay attention, for there's simply no guarantee of a happy ending to history. And the sweep of reason produces monsters. And the sweep of reason produces monsters, produces monsters, produces monsters. One of the annoying things about being a topical songwriter is that if you do the job long enough, the songs that you wrote 30 years ago become topical again. It's almost as if we didn't solve these problems by singing about them, you know what I mean? The fuck is that, man? How does that work? And, you know, I have songs now, I mean, I can't sing it in my current voice. But I have been singing it, and I can dedicate it to 45, to Theresa May, to Brexit, any old kind of thing. You can stick accident, what happened on them, and it just does it, you know, it does it, it says it for it. But perhaps nobody is more prone to that kind of re-topicalization than Woody Guthrie. Yeah. Woody Guthrie has a song for every single situation you find yourself in. He wrote a song about 45's dad, if you didn't know that. Yeah, in the 1940s he wrote a song called Old Man Trump about 45's father being a landlord, a racist landlord. That's how far ahead of the curve the little guy was. Yeah. We run to keep up with him still. And I want to play a song of his now that's, I think it's very, very topical, and it's the song, Woody wrote the song, I think, about something. I don't know if you're familiar with the Bob Dylan song that begins, they're selling postcards of the hanging. I think it's Desolation Row, I think, begins that way. Now, Dylan isn't being poetic there. He's talking about something that really happened. 100 years ago, when African Americans could be killed, be lynched for no reason, very often the mob that did the lynching would have their photograph taken around the victim hanging from a tree or wherever, sometimes burned body. They would all be standing around smiling. They would have postcards made of this image, and they would sell these postcards in stores in the town to discourage African Americans from coming to the town. Now, I know this because there's a book, you can buy a book that compiles these terrible, terrible mementos of more or less ethnic cleansing. And in the book, they're all shocking, every single image, but the one that perhaps is most shocking is a photograph of a woman in a calico dress and a child. And they seem to be somehow hovering above water. And when you look closely, you see that they're both hanging from a bridge over a river. It's the Canadian River. And what's more shocking than all that is when you read the caption, and it says this photograph was taken in Okemo, Oklahoma, where Woody Guthrie was born, 2 years before his birth. And it's well known among, it's stated in the Guthrie biographies, that his father Charlie was among that mob, may even have helped instigate that mob. Now Woody would have grown up seeing that photograph, would have known that his father was part of that, would have known that the town he came from was capable of doing something like that. It left a deep, deep mark on him. And he wrote this song. I want to play for you now. And the reason why it's topical again is because it's still possible for African Americans to be killed in your country and no one to be properly held to account. It's why sportsmen have been taking the knee up and down the country for the last couple of months. ever see the hangman tie sitting on? Did you ever see a hangman tie slipping on? Yeah, I've seen it many times, and it winds and it winds. And after 30 times, he's got a slipping on. Tell me, will that slip not slip? No, it will not. Tell me, will that slip not slip? No, it will not. It'll slip around your neck, but it won't slip back again. That slipknot, good Lord, oh, that slipknot. Did you ever lose your brother to a slipknot? Did you ever lose your brother to a slipknot? Yet it hung in from a pole, and they shot him full of holes, and left him a little rod on that slipknot. Tell me who makes the law for that. Tell me who makes the law for that slipknot? Who says who is going to the cowboys? Oh, get that hangman's news for that slipknot. Who makes the law for that slipknot? No, I don't know who makes the law for that slipknot. But the bones of many men twisting the wind are because they paid their law with a slipknot. Yeah, the bones of many men twisting in the wind, all because they made their law with a slipknot.
She comes again.
was married Maria. The wife has frequent attributes, intelligence, a Swiss Army knife and jaw. But that's not enough sometimes. She did speak her mind. Told the woman that she believed the only way to disarm is to disarm. That's still true, by the way. And when she comes, we get an answer in my hands. She sings to me that silent song. When she comes again, and I'm biting my lip, she won't be long. Stones in the river in the afternoon sun. Oh, let me be as free as been done. Let her pass this way again. You cannot be blamed, but I've become inflamed with thoughts of lust and thoughts of power, thoughts of love and the thoughts of Jim Mao. It's a bit dated, but it has to rhyme with it. Bernie doesn't rhyme. Such little time, be it your face or mine. I can't wait till we take our drugs test. Oh baby, let's take our drugs test now. And if she comes again and I'm sitting on my hands, she sings to me that siren song. When she comes again, and I'll bite my lip, and it won't be long. Then if she comes again, I'm sitting on my hands. She sings to me that siren song. When she comes again, and I'll bite my lip, and it won't be long.
This must be a high note there, but I'm fine. I was in San Francisco.
More slowly on acoustic guitar, we might get through the evening. By midnight, we might get it. Well, it's been tough the last 14, 15 months really since Brexit went down. But I have to tell you, with regard to the politics at home, I'm greatly encouraged because despite the fact that they've spent Our millennial brothers and sisters are kind of ironic about everything from facial hair to their views on the world. In my country, they've stopped being ironic about socialism. It's really incredible. It's really, really incredible. We had a snap general election in which it was assumed by everybody, myself included, that the Conservative Party would decimate the Labour Party, get a huge mandate to push through the most divisive Brexit that you can imagine. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen. We didn't win. Labour didn't win the election, but the Tories kind of lost it. It's a kind of weird, again, you'll have to look at my website to explain why that might happen. It's a cricketing thing. But the great thing was that it was young people coming out to vote.
young people coming out to vote who've been made to realise something that they didn't really, and I kind of feel this because I was in their position as well as a young man. I didn't think that voting made any difference. The first time Thatcher was elected, I didn't bother voting in that election. And that was quite a wake-up call, let me tell you. And Brexit, obviously, for our young people, has been a wake-up call. And they came out in significant numbers and voted for the Labour Party. And, the reason I'm encouraged by this is nobody saw it coming. There was no hint that these people were there, that they were angry, and they were just waiting for a moment to respond to what happened with Brexit. And all I'm saying is, there's a lot of young people in the United States of America. You know, there's a lot of them. And they may not have bothered voting last time. But now, you know, the thing about Trump being on Twitter all the time is if you're a young person, you can't get him out of your face. It's not like politics he's done somewhere miles away and no one's talking about it. Everyone's talking about it. So what I'm saying is don't take it for granted, but your young people may well turn up in big numbers and turn this shit around for you at the midterms. You know? Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. And some very real fucking weird things have been going on in my country since the election. At Glastonbury Festival, at any time during the whole weekend, in the middle of the night, lying in your bunk, you could hear gangs of young people chanting the leader of the Labour Party's name, Jeremy Corbyn, to the tune of Seven Nation Army. Oh, Jeremy Corbyn, oh, Jeremy Corbyn. You could hear it anywhere. And the best one was during Radiohead's headline set on the Pyramid Stage on Saturday night. Radiohead being art school, he says in a rather pejorative way. They didn't use the screens, they switched off the screens, and they also kept the stage dark. Glastonbury without a light show, they might as well put me on. You know, no one comes to see my light show. Lovely though it is. They kept the stage dark, so between the songs, there was a lot of what we call in England, what we call fossicking about. Where's the running order? What? I can't find my pedals. Where's the beer? And that sort of thing, you know. Something was happening, but you couldn't see what it was. 70,000 progressive people in a field trying to watch this. They started chanting. They started chanting Corbyn's name. Oh, yeah. It started quietly, got louder and louder. And they were all doing it. And the beautiful thing, the most beautiful thing about it was all broadcast live on the BBC at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. The Tories were so, and they were apoplectic about it. I mean, how do you get balance on that? What are we able to do? Chant Boris Johnson's name. We could burn him in effigy, if you like. There'd be a big crowd for that. But, yeah, it was, Tom York was a bit shaken by it. Eventually, he kind of joined in a witchy poo voice.
Yeah.
What would you do in that situation? Put the lights on, try and work out where the fuck you are. So yeah, the S word, it's not disappeared. And come on, you know, our memories of last summer, last year, are so tainted by the result of the election. But let's just remember that a bloke who was a self-declared democratic socialist came damn near close to running for president. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing, you know. And so, you know, there's room for more ideas than just the same old, same old. You know, had I been here when it came down to on the day, I probably would have voted for Hillary, but her fundamental flaw was that she was not a change candidate. You know, she was not a change candidate. People want change. Everywhere where change candidates stand, they win. Brexit was a change option. Corbyn was a change option for the leadership of the Labour Party. Everywhere where the status quo is offered, people are like, forget it. We desperately need change. So the room for a progressive candidate who's offering genuine change to the American people, I think there's a real possibility there. You know, that, you know, could come from the mainstream. I don't know where from. You know, but But don't think that you can just keep on doing same old, same old. That's what Blair tried to do. That's what the Tories tried to do in my country recently, and it's falling apart. People are angry, and my concern is that if they are not offered the kind of change that they want that makes a real difference to their lives, to the security of their jobs, their homes, their health, they will willingly vote for chaos. Brexit is chaos. People willingly voted for it because they just were so angry. They were so angry. So that's my worry. Unless we offer them that genuine change, and the real change that they need that we're talking about can only come from progressive politics. It can't come. The other side can't do it. The other side can't do it. And if we're gonna call it socialism, let's call it socialism. You know, my vision of socialism, if you want to know what socialism was, I saw it last Saturday in California. I saw it. A free gig in a public park, sunny day. That's what socialism is all about. I'm not joking, mate. That's what it's all about. It's about community coming together. Yeah. The people at Ardley Street before they were on drugs when I said that. They probably were being up there. But this is another song that takes its name from a 18th century etcher. This one was even more radical than Goya. He was a mate of Thomas Paine, and he was once arrested for sedition because he threw a redcoat out of his front garden. A redcoat was in his front garden having a piss in the hedge. And William Blake threw him out physically. He was an old man then, but he still did that. So his vision inspired this song. It's called Upfield. Going upfield, we up on the hillside. I'm going higher than I've ever been before. That's where you'll find me, over the horizon. Or a tree full of angels up on Primrose Hill, and I flew with them over the great wind till I had seen my fill of such poverty and misery. Sure to tear my soul apart, I've got a socialism of the heart. I've got socialism of the heart. I'm going upfield, up on the hillside. I'm going higher than I've ever been before. That's where you'll find me, over the blue horizon. The shore. The angels asked me how I felt about all I'd seen her. They spoke to me a pagan, gave me cause to doubt their word. They laughed and said it doesn't matter if you help us in our art. You've got a socialism of the heart. You've got a socialism of the heart. I'm going upfield, way up on the hillside. I'm going higher than I've ever been before. That's where you'll find me, over blue horizon, waiting in the river, reaching that other shore. Their faces shone, they were gone. I was left alone. And I walk these ancient empire streets till I came tearful to my home. When I woke next morning, I vowed to play my part. I've got a socialism of the heart. I've got a socialism of the heart. That's why I'm good for you. When you're on the other side, I'm good higher than I ever been before. That's where you'll find me.
And I think your election as well, was the fact that climate change wasn't an issue during the election. I mean, this is going to be an issue that we're all of us going to have to address in our own ways, wherever we live. And you would think that the people who voted for 45 and the people who voted for Brexit, who were very concerned about mass movement of refugees and immigrants, would understand that if the planet comes so hot that people in the hot places can no longer feed themselves, and people in the wet places can no longer sustain their communities, that they're going to be on the move looking for somewhere to live. And much greater numbers than we've seen before. The kind of groups coming across the Rio Grande, trying to get across the Mediterranean, and moving in south and east in China. These numbers are going to increase with climate change. And this isn't something that's going to have the science. The evidence is already there. My continent, the high glaciers in the Alps, the snow up there is melting at such a rate, the bodies of people who went missing 100 years ago are being revealed by the melt. People who went out one night looking for their sheep or went to walk to another village and never heard of again, their bodies are being revealed by snow that is receding. And in Florida, where the, as I'm sure you already know, the Gulf of Mexico, temperature didn't go below 72 degrees last year, which is unprecedented, and also explains how it is that hurricanes are able to pick up more power after they've crossed larger islands, where it used to dissipate their power. Now they're picking it up again because the water in the Gulf is so hot. The sheer volume of the water, which expands with heat, is having an effect in parts of Florida. They have a phenomenon that they refer to as sunny day flooding, which happens once a month when there's a king tide and the earth and the moon line up. This is flooding that doesn't need a storm, that doesn't need rain, that doesn't need anything at all. It's just the sheer volume of the water comes out of the drainage system. Water comes out of the drain. In some places it literally comes out of the ground, in parks. In the same place every month, cars can't drive through. It's often in the poorest areas of in southern Florida. Floridians have come up with a brilliant idea to deal with it. They're going to raise the road by a meter, but not their houses in the poor parts of town. It seems as if climate change might also be a class issue. Who'd have thought it? So this is the second of these new songs I've put out since the summer. It's called King Tide and the Sunny Day Flood. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could save the world and all, simply by collecting up tin cans and empty bottles? We all want to believe it's true, but it don't matter what we do, so long as we continue to burn our way from fossils. Now it should come as no surprise to hear about the ocean. Rise. Polar caps are melting with every year that the planet warms. Now people have to understand, gonna feel it far in mind. It's gonna shift the seasons and supercharge the storms. The king tide is a coming, night is coming. Can't you hear the milk waters running? The king tide is coming. Don't wash everything away. And you know the oceans, they connect us all. No one can just build a wall. We have to get together. We can't do this on our own. To think that you can stand aside is nothing more than foolish pride. Cause everyone's a libertarian till the brown water floods their home. Now you may live on higher ground, feeling like you're safe and sound. Thinking as you look around, this is your lucky day. But everyone beneath the sky is simply looking for somewhere high and dry. Nothing you can ever do will keep them all at bay. Because the king tide is coming. The king tide is coming. The king tide is coming. Everything away. The king tide is coming, and we have to act today. Thank you very much. Tonight is I start these songs, I've no idea where they're gonna go. That's my problem, so we'll just have to play it by ear. See what happens. Drops you off, I will not sigh. Who was that so quickly drove away? The things you've done and the places you've been. When I open the door for you, I will not let them in. As long as you come back to me, I will never ask. For you are the man in the iron mask. You said you loved me and you broke my heart. I was always your prisoner, right from the start. The nights you spent without me, this house is like a dungeon. And you only return to torture me more. You must have your reasons, I will not ask. For you. Yeah. That's right. probably what it would sound like, madam. I don't know how you're feeling about all this, but this is actually quite exciting for me, because most nights I know how to do this. When I start a song, I generally know how it's going to end. Tonight, not only am I starting songs and not knowing how they're going to end, but I'm throwing in songs I haven't played for ages and trying to remember how to play them. So, I don't want your fucking sympathy.
September morning was clear and fresh. The way she spoke and laughed at my jokes, and the way she rubbed herself against the edge of my chest. She became a magic mystery to me, and we sit together in double streets twice a week, and some days we walk the same way. I'm a bit surprising how quick the rain can clear the streets. We dreamed of her and compared our dreams, but that was all that I ever tasted. For she lied to me with her body, you see, and I lied to myself about the chances I had. The times we were close were far in between. Darkness in the dances, school canteen, did she close her eyes as I did, and we held each other tight.
What do you mean, boys and girls? Most nights I can sing like I'll whistle. What's that about?
She danced with me and I still hold that memory soft and sweet. Whistle up at her window as I walk down her street. But I never made the first team, I just made the first team laugh. And she never came to the phone, she was always in her bath. Took me a dictionary to find out the meaning of unrequited, while she was giving herself for free. A party to which I was never invited. I never understood my failings then, and I hide my envelopes now.
Back, folks, she made us wonder.
Girl not old enough to shave her head and have a belly button pierced.
I don't whistle the outro. Audience research has shown that the average Billy Bragg fan hears the trumpet solo in the end at this point. Without me having to do anything other than playing 36 bars of the outro. While you reconnect with that sad adolescent experience that first drew you. First drew you to this song all those years ago. So I don't want to dwell on private grief, I just let you wallow in it for a while. Anyone remember where we are? Everyone knows. Sometimes throw a little extraneous guitar riff in just to keep things interesting. that suggestive when I played I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, damn's a lot of my gigs. That charm pops up even without me playing a riff. So people are just excited. And I make a point there. I'm going to make the same point here as well, because it's a really important point. It's not him. It's us. It's us. And he knows it. He knows it. But that's what's so great about it. He knows that. It's us. We're going to do it. It's you. You're going to do it. Not someone else. You yourselves by getting out there and doing it, yeah? Where are we at now? I think we're here. No, no, we're not. No. Well, I'm going to try something else here. Mate, I'm not sure how far I'm going to give it up. About it is he's eminently sing-alongable to. So. The worst heckle I ever received was at a gig somewhere on the coast of New England, can't remember where it was, some college town, some smart-ass college town bar. And it was a pause like this in the proceedings, and some geezer shouted out, "Play your hit!" It's a good one, isn't it? At the time, I thought there was no answer to that, but ultimately, I decided there is an answer to it, and it's this. Oh, very lichens, girls from many nations, and my classes, wonderful classes, just because you're turn you right if you stick around. Sure, we can buy some time around. Sexuality. That's what I get. Sexuality. Sexuality. Was to not apply to me a nucleus on the reasons of the cars for Sweden. Lights can be headaches when I read them. I had an uncle who once cried, but a red star fell and cried. He said something's really best left unspoken. I've left your auntie and I've run off with the postman. Sexuality, why not? Young and bigotry, threatening bigotry, sexuality. Mind your honesty, yeah. I'm sure that everybody knows how much my body hates me, particularly my throat. Lets me down most every time, makes me rash and hasty. I feel a total jerk before you make it my love work. Here we go. I'm getting weighed down with all this information. Sex doesn't mean no sex, just means use your imagination. Stop playing with yourselves in currency hotels. I look like Robert De Niro, drive a Mitsubishi Pajero. Back to the greens. Sexuality. Young woman, wild and free. Sexuality. Yours do not apply to me. Sexuality. Come into drink and see me. Sexuality. We can be what we want to be. That was beautiful. Thank you. too late. But I know what's going to happen when I explain to my missus what happened with my voice, not having my voice in. She'll say to me, did you play a 2-hour set again? And I'm going to say, yeah, but you should have seen them. They're all singing along. They're all on my side. They're all lovely. So that's why. I think it's there's a certain amount of commitment that we both have. I think that we're going to. I'm going to sing these songs and you're going to damn well enjoy them. That's the spirit that made America great. Although unable to qualify for the World Cup. Okay. First time in 4 years. Where's Wiggy? I should imagine Wiggy's in bed at the moment, mate, if I know Wiggs. He's in Ilford, which is near where I come from, Barking, and I saw him last time I was home. But sadly, I've heard the news, the last curry house in Barking has closed down, so I don't know where me and him are going to go for a curry now. We'll probably go up his end, up Ilford way, which is a heartbreak. But this is no way a segue. But I want to talk about the crisis in masculinity. Yeah, all the women in their ears popped up now. About time someone mentioned that. The crisis in masculinity, brothers, as you'll be well aware, our sisters over the last decades have fought against being stereotyped as a domestic goddess and pushed into the kitchen, rightly so. They've fought against that. Well, the time has come for us to resist the pressure to be a do-it-yourself demon. Yeah. Put down the power tools. Come out of the garage. And let's be honest with ourselves one time and admit that we will never be as good at this shit as our dads were. And not pass the shame onto our children. No. Let's not do that. We have a saying in my country, to a man with a hammer in his hand, everything looks like a nail. But there are some, even some among us this evening, for whom that nail will never go in straight, no matter how many times we hit the bastard thing. Now, if you are like me, challenged by bashing nails into bits of wood, I'm here to tell you that there is another way to express your innate masculinity that doesn't involve metal bashing. So when you remember this little homily, the next time your partner comes on a lovely a weekend and kind of peers over the top of your newspaper or perhaps snatches the video game controller out of your hand and says, you know, darling, the guttering on the back of the house is hanging off, it needs fixing. I want you to remember this moment and say, as I say, to my sweetheart, I want you to say, why don't you get your brother to fix it? He's got a ladder. And he has. And he's brilliant at that stuff. He is. But here's the thing, brothers. Here's the lesson. Here's the point of the whole thing. Who does he come to when he wants his guitar tuning? Yeah. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? There are other ways to express your innate masculinity. So, if you are like me, masculine in that way, then this song is for you. It's your Handyman Blues. Never gonna be the hell. Oh, Christ, I'm gonna have that one. Takes me half an hour to change a fuse. And when I flick the switch, the lights are blue. I'm not your handyman.
expecting me to put up shelves or build a garden shed. But I can write a song that tells the world how much I love you instead. Now I'm not any good at pottery, so let's lose a T and just shift back the E, and I'll find a way to make my poetry build a roof over our heads. You see what I did there, brothers? You see what I did there? Chicks love it. Cause I'm a writer, not a decorator. I'm not your handyman. Cause I'm a writer and an agitator.
Oh yeah.
I'm not your hand. I kind of sound like a pirate now. East End gangster thing again, and this thing, I'm so sorry. I'll do my best. So after the recent events in Charlottesville, with the march of white supremacists through the town, and the murder there, I was poised with my pen. I suddenly thought to myself, another angry anti-fascist song from Billy Bragg. We've probably written enough of those. So I wondered if there was another way to approach this subject. And my mind went back to an image from an anti-fascist demo in my own country in April of this year. In Birmingham, in the West Midlands, one of our most multicultural cities, a group of fascists called the so-called Defence, so-called League, were marching through the city trying to stir up Islamophobia. And there was a young woman there wearing a hijab who'd come out to counter-protest them, and she was giving them some stick. She was verbally confronting them, if you like, across the road. And a sizable number of these fascists broke from the march and surrounded her and began to verbally abuse her. And the police were kind of taken aback by this. There was only a few of them there on that part of the march, and they weren't really managing to keep her safe. And a young British Asian woman named Sophia Khan stepped forward at this moment and went into the face of the loudest and, as always, the smallest fascist, and kind of just put her hands in her pockets and leaned into his face and China just kind of smiled at him with a smile that said, "You are a little piece of shit." And this image was captured by a press photographer, a very, very powerful image, and Sophia just smiling serenely at this little guy who's ranting away at her. And one of the local MPs who was on the march tweeted the photograph with the caption, "Who has the power in this photograph?" It was really bad. And it later transpired, on top of all that, that she was wearing a Specials t-shirt as well. I don't think it would be fair, because she's a West Ham fan, but it didn't kind of stretch out. That photograph, it reminded me that that kind of selfless act of solidarity is really what progressive politics is all about. I know it's a popular chant, you hear it a lot on demos these days. We didn't hear it so much in the 80s, but you hear people chanting, "This is what democracy looks like." Which is great, but unfortunately at the moment in my country, democracy looks like Brexit. And the problem with democracy is, there ain't enough of it. We don't get to do it often enough. And when we do get the opportunity to do it, it's usually constrained by gerrymandering or messing about, of corporations messing about with the propositions and stuff like that. Or in my country, places where the same party have been in power for
for centuries. And there's just not enough democracy around. Whereas, you can do solidarity every day of the bloody week. So what I'm looking for is what solidarity looks like. That's what we need to start with. We need to be declaring this is what solidarity looks like. You know, those sports people taking the knee at the weekend, that is what solidarity looks like. And I also remember that Woody wrote some fine, angry, anti-fascist songs, but he also wrote some really good piss-taking anti-fascist songs as well. So I thought I might be able to write a song that kind of did both those things. So Sophia Khan was her name. This young woman, Saffiyah. If you Google her name, you'll see the photograph, or go to my website and see the video of this song. It was released on Friday. It's called Sophia Smiles. Angry white men dressed like Elmer Fudd, shouting some shit about soil and blood. A woman of color steps out from the crowd and does something to make us all proud. Just like Victor Hugo told, to love is to act, and her act was bold. Made her stand, and with a smile took power from the man. Oh, don't you know, we come together when Sophia smiles. All round the world, people come together when Sophia smiles. Hitler's haircut is back in style. Resistance on the streets of Birmingham, and with her smile she disarms the man. Oh, don't you know, we come together when Sophia smiles.
This is a point in the evening where I have to just kind of like get on with it and jump on the sledge and see where it ends up.
poorly, I will sing poetry. These songs because I love playing them and I know you like hearing them too. It breaks my heart to have to pull them out of the set, so I'm going to have to keep just crunching through them, I think. So while we were on tour last year, me and Joe singing about trains, it was a bit tough on me because, you know, after Brexit, I think we British had kind of been robbed of our moral superiority over you Americans. It's really bloody hard. It's really hard to get a kind of sort of get a handle on it. It's like, fuck, how do we do this? And then you jump straight in the shit with us. Up to your necks. And we're back on equal terms again. Except we qualify for the World Cup. Right. It's only going to be more misery for us. Iceland away, as I told you. Those bastard Vikings will have us. That's what we're all having nightmares about now. You don't have to be worried about going out to the DRG or anything like that. One of the things on that campaign trail was, of course, 45 was talking about building the wall on the Mexican border, which was an easy target for anyone with half a brain. But one night, you know, I was listening to something on the BBC Radio 4 News on my phone while Joe was singing. I have to say, Joe was a really great representative of the American people when we were on tour, travelling around Europe. It was very, very tough for him, very tough indeed. We were in London when 45 was elected. The next night, we had a gig in Canterbury, of all places. And Joe was taking it really hard, and he said to me, what am I going to tell these people when I go out there tonight? How am I going to explain this? I said, Joe, mate, they've just been through Brexit. They know exactly how you're feeling. Just tell them how you feel. It's not a problem. And I have to say, I was very touched by the fact that on the T-shirt store that night, every other person gave him a hug. They really did feel for him. And even better than that, he came up with a fabulous form of words to
to kind of stand up for everything that's great about the United States of America, because when he would start his solo spot, we'd do six songs to me, and I'd go off, he would do a solo spot, we'd have a break, I'd do a solo spot. I would always stay to listen, because he always opened with the same lines. He said, you know, I feel I owe you guys some kind of explanation about what's happened with 45, you know, and everyone would kind of laugh nervously. He would say, but my friends at home would really want you to know and to understand that this is where we are, it is not who we are. And that was really, really powerful. And every night, the British audience really warmed to that. It was a real, privilege to be travelling with him through these difficult times. And anyway, one night, I got listening to the BBC news, when I came out to do my rap about the war on the Mexican border, I couldn't put out of my mind something that I'd been reminded by the news, which was that my tax pounds are going to pay the French security forces to keep economic migrants and refugees away from the mouth of the Channel Tunnel and to keep them living in squalor in the Calais jungle. And they're going to be most of the young men now, it's nearly all women and children in the jungle now, and they're going to face another winter living in shacks made out of plastic dustbin bags. And we pay for that. And worse, as citizens of the European Union, our euros go to the Turkish government, Erdogan. We pay Erdogan to keep people from the worst place on earth, Syria, in tents in eastern Turkey, to prevent them from travelling across the Bosphorus into the European Union, where they want nothing more than just to make a better life for their children. I don't think we have the moral authority to point a finger at you people for the idea of building a wall along the Mexican border, and any Brit here will know that if there had been a wall, a border with Europe during the referendum campaign, there would have been people in our country talking about building a goddamn wall as well. I can assure you that. I can assure you that. You know, this is going to be the big issue that we ultimately, history judges us on. Our children will want to know what we did during this time. Our grandchildren want to know what we did when those people came to our shores looking for help. We're going to be judged on this issue, and we really do need to find a way to sustainably accommodate people on this planet that we share, one way or another, either making their place safe or finding a space for them among ourselves here. And I'll play this song for you. I first heard this at Occupy London in 2011, sung by the young woman who wrote it from Vermont. Her name is Anais Mitchell, and she sang this song at the footings of a statue of Queen Victoria. It was incredibly powerful when she sang it then, and I'm afraid since then, as time's passed, the song has only gained much more power. It's called Why We Build the Wall. Why did we build the wall? My children, why do we build a wall? Why do we build a wall? We build a wall to keep us free, that's why. We build a wall to keep us free. How does the wall keep us free? My children, how does the wall keep us free? How does the wall keep us free? The wall keeps out the enemy, and we build a wall to keep us free. That's why we build a wall. House we have and they have not, my children.
'cause they want what we've got. Because we have and they have not. The enemy is poverty. War keeps out the enemy. We build the wall, keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free. What do we have that they should want? My children, my children. What do we have that they should want? What do we have that they should want? We have a wall to work upon. We have work that they have none. And our work is never done. My children, my children. And the war is never won. The enemy is poverty. War keeps out the enemy. Build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free. We build the wall to keep us free.
Tuning up tonight. I haven't really seen the point of it, really. Voice fuck the guitar fan.
Is that great?
Well, it's very kind of you to say that, mate, but it's, no one's offered me a Cosquick, madam. It's exactly true. Or a P45. That's a British joke I'm listening to. The Prime Minister lost her voice at the Party Congress on live on TV. She gave an hour speech. She lost her voice. The Chancellor of the Exchequer offered her a cough sweet. A comedian who'd managed to bluff his way in there as a member of the press climbed up onto the podium and gave her a P45, which is a form you have to fill out if you've been sacked. Live on TV, and she kind of accepted him. She should have punched him out. Or the security should have come. He just kind of. She just kind of took, she folded it up and put it on the floor. And then finally, having overcome, her voice was worse than mine actually. She tried to drink some water and spilled it on herself. And it was, to watch it was like, I can just stop, just stop. Behind her, there was a slogan on the wall that's always in camera when she's speaking. It says something like, vote Tory or fuck off or something like that. And while she was speaking, in the last 15 minutes of her speech, while she was speaking, the words began to fall off one by one. I mean, any one of those things would have been a disaster. Three of them, all three. It's almost a comedy routine, isn't it? But fortunately, the good news is, she's the person in charge of Brexit. Let me just say this. Some years ago, I came to the conclusion that the true enemy of all of us who want to make the world a better place is not actually capitalism or conservatism, it's actually cynicism that is our greatest enemy. And I don't mean the cynicism of Fox News or the Daily Mail in my country. That's their job, those bastards, to drip cynicism into the political discourse. That's how they make a living, the shysters. The cynicism I'm talking about, that is the true enemy of all of us who want to make the world a better place, is our own cynicism. Our own sense that nothing will ever change. Our own feeling that no one else gives a shit about this stuff. Our own fear that all politicians are the same. If we can't overcome that cynicism, then what hope have we of creating that sort of society based on a humanitarian idea, a compassionate society that so many of us believe in, you know? We have to find ways to overcome our cynicism. We all feel it. We're bound to, the way things are in the world, even before 45 and Brexit, even before, you know, Blair made me feel cynical. But I'm in a very privileged position, because when I feel cynical or angry about something, I write a song about it, I come out here in the dark with you lot, I sing it, you all applaud, and I don't feel half so bad on it. You know, I feel, you know, it's kind of, that's how music works, you know, that's what music can do. And probably it's the most that music can do. I know I'm not telling you anything you don't really know when I tell you that Woody's guitar didn't really kill fascists. Seriously. Seriously. Because it's an example of how music works. It was an idea that Woody was putting out there. It didn't actually do the job that he was talking about, but it inspired other people to join the anti-fascist cause. And it still does. It still does today, and that's the power that music has. It doesn't have the agency to be able to affect change, but it does have the power to inspire people to go out there and affect change. And this is really crucial, because it is the absolute, I think, most that music can do in terms of changing the situation we find ourselves in. Because in this wonderful exchange that we have of ideas at a gig, and we feel ourselves lifted up, and I don't know how you feel about the gig, but it certainly charges me up. You respond to these songs, and that last one, the way you responded to that, it certainly charges my activism up standing here. That my hope is that what I'm doing has that same effect to you, that it charges you up, that you go away, you go away feeling, you go away feeling that there are people in your town who care about this shit, you know? Because the point is, I will be in another city tomorrow night growling this same rap at another audience. You will still be here to deal with whatever challenges you face in your environment. And I hope that you take something from the gig, that you're able to use there, some sense of that. Because I think that is our music really has some role to play in trying to make things better. And the reason I'm still doing this, after all these years, it's quite a few years now, and I'm still doing it despite 2 hours of losing my voice, is because of my faith in your ability to make a difference in your environment, to change the world. Not me, but you, your ability to do that. It's that faith I'm talking about in this song. I want to dedicate it to you with respect. It's called I Keep Faith. If you want to make the weather, then you have to take the plane. If sometimes dark clouds fill the sky and it starts to rain and folks complain, and though your head may tell you to run and hide, listen to your heart and you'll find me right by your side, because I keep faith. I keep faith. I keep faith. I keep faith in you. Yes, I do. I keep faith in you. If you think you have the answer, don't be surprised if what you say is met with anger, contempt and lies. No matter how hard you may want to,
just walk away. Reach out, you'll find me there beside you all of the way, because I keep faith, I keep faith, I keep faith, I keep faith in you, yes I do, I keep faith in you. All the dreams we shared, never knew no one who cared about these things the way that I've seen you. It doesn't matter if this all falls off the cliff, together we are gonna see it through. Now I know it takes a mess of courage to go against the grain. You have to make great sacrifice for such little gain, so much pain. And if your plans have come to nothing, washed out in the rain, let me rekindle all your hopes and help you start again, because I keep faith in these troubled times. I keep faith in these uncertain days. I keep faith, I keep faith in you, yes I do, I keep faith in every single one of you. I keep faith in you, yes I do, I keep faith in every single one of you. I keep faith in you, yes I do, I keep faith in you, I keep faith in you. That was beautiful, that, because I felt in that I got into that Springsteen territory where he gets every show when you see him after about 2.5 hours, where his sheer sincerity overcomes the fact that he's bellowing like a wounded animal. I love him for that. I love him. I love him for that. I got just there and I thought, that's it. I'm just in that kind of bust me vocal cords with me veins standing out like freezing. Yeah. Yeah, don't start that, mate. I've already come too far. I'm ready for that. But I will just say this. The best antidote to cynicism is empathy. The ability to feel compassion for other people. And you know, we live in a time when there's more or less a war on empathy, you know, anyone who expresses any compassion for people outside of their racial or group or gender group or ethnic group or national group gets immediately attacked by the right for being politically correct or for virtue signaling, whatever that means. You know, there's a kind of war on that. And it really angers me because, you know, as a musician, empathy is my currency. You know, music, and not just political music, any music, can make you feel for someone you've never met, for the situation they find themselves in. It's not necessarily political, it might be emotional, it might be something that you share, it might be something that you know, someone you know is at that situation. That's what, you know, that's what music's great power is, to be able to spread empathy. So I feel at times like this, we need to be ramping that aspect of what we do up, all of us. And my hunch about why it is that the right are so wary of empathy, I think it's because they understand that if you mix empathy with activism, you get solidarity.
And that is what they're really afraid of. They're really afraid of people coming together across divided lines, across racial lines, across ethnic lines, across religious lines, across class lines, to bring about change from below rather than accepting it from above. So let's finish off with a song that's all about that kind of solidarity. There is power in a union.
Nothing until you know we don't stand. There is power in a union. Lessons of the past will live with workers' blood. Mistakes of the bosses we must pay for. Cities and farmlands, your trenches for mud. There's always been a bosses' way, sir. The union forever defending our rights. Brothers and our sisters, together we will stand. Yeah, it's power in a union. Yeah. And on for the morning that they realise brutality and just laws cannot defeat us. We'll defend the workers who cannot organise. Bosses send their lackeys out to cheat us. And he speaks for money, the devil for his own. Who comes to speak for the scheme and how? What a comfort to a widow, the right to be tried. There is power in the union. Sisters, together we will stand. There is power in a union. The union forever defending our rights. Down with the black legal workers united. With our brothers and our sisters from many far off lands. There is power in a union.
Set. You started off, you can vaguely hear it.
By the end, he was gone. The things I do with Skiff Wife. I've got a couple more in me, if you're lucky. Quickly though, why did I write a bloody book about Skiffle? You want to know, don't you? What is it about Skiffle? Well, Skiffle in my country, it's how the first generation of teenagers declare they're different from their parents. They pick up guitars, inspired by a guy named Lonnie Donegan, who has a hit in 1956 with Rock Island Lion. And Skiffle inspires a generation of school kids. Really, it has much more in common with the fidget spinner craze, you know what that is? That's exactly what it was like, madam. It wasn't like the beginning of hip-hop or punk, it was a playground. Van Morrison is 12 when he hears Donegan. When Donegan plays in Liverpool, George Harrison goes every night for a week, he's 13. McCartney's 14 when he goes. Lennon's 16, forms his first skiffle band 2 weeks after Donegan hits town. Jimmy Page is 14 when he appears on TV playing a skiffle song called Mama Don't Allow No Skiffle Players Around Here. And the significance of this, these kids, 12, 13, 14 year old, learning three chords on a guitar, is that when the folk boom happens in the United States of America, and American kids then get a vibe to start playing as well, our kids are already in Hamburg. You know, they've got that 2-3 years ahead of what's happening here. And that explains why when the Beatles break in America in January 64, there's a whole phalanx of road-hardened British groups ready to come in behind them. They're all between January 64 and January 66, there were British groups at number one in the Billboard chart for 52 weeks out of 104. Every single one of them started life, their players, performers began playing in skiffle bands. That's what it's about. It's summed up in something that George Harrison told a journalist when he asked him if the blues had ever influenced the Beatles in the way they influenced the Stones. And Harrison said, yeah, sure. No Lead Belly, no Lonnie Donegan. No Lonnie Donegan, no Beatles. And it's that, that's why I've been losing my voice, trying to explain that to people. But, I'm sorry, Fred, we haven't got any other books here. It's a bit of an odd thing. Rubes and me are flying around on this tour. It's hard enough taking t-shirts and guitars without taking. My back's too bad for loving books around. I just want to say a thanks to Rubes up there trying to make my voice come through. You know, a great job tonight. Thank you. If I don't speak to you on the flight tomorrow, Phoenix, don't take it personal. We'll sleep. Here's an old skiffle song for you. Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown. Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. But the climate is obviously changing. But the man in the White House says no one's to blame. For the times, they are changing back. Come Mexicans, Muslims, LGBT and Jews. Keep your eyes wide for what's on the news. A President Trump is expressing his views. And I fear that the mob he's inciting will soon break your windows, burn down your schools. For the times, they are changing back. Daughters throughout the land, a bunch of old men have come.
with a plan. So forget your ambitions for a better idea about how you should be behaving. So get back in the kitchen and bite your lip. The times they are changing. Martin Luther King is spinning in his grave to see a bigoted bully taking the stage. And he calls upon us to be faithful to the ideals he died for in another age. For the times they are changing back. It is cast, and the slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. Let's hold on to that idea for a moment, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they will achieve.
To you for your patience with me and my mess around voice. It means a great deal to me that you've hung in here with me all this time. Come along. Anyone who knows me will know I'm not a happy flyer. I've come a long way to say this shit, to sing these songs, to make a connection with you. So I want to thank you for hanging in there with me. It means a huge amount. Thank you very much. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Of course you could hit the mark for you every time on these songs. But in the end, it's about ideas. You know, if it was about performance, I'd have had a light show and some dancers. You know? That's a very strange idea, I'd say. If you ever see me do a show like that, please come and have a word with me afterwards. Remind me. Just come and whisper in my ear, Bill. Are you sure what he done in this way? Listen, we have to end the way we always end, because not least because it's Kirsty McCall's birthday today. So let's finish by totally pushing right out of the top and shredding my voice completely. If you can help me on the chorus, it would be much really appreciated. Thanks very much for coming out tonight. Have a great time and enjoy the rest of your week. Over, I'll see you again soon. Cheers. Everyone is wrong. This song turns to now, but I won't be for long. People ask me when I grow up to be a man, but the girls of this school are already pushing brands. I loved you then as I love you still. I put you on a pedestal, put you on a pill. Don't feel bad about letting you go. Just feel sad about letting you know. Here we go. I can't survive on what she said. Every time you need a friend, I saw two shooting stars last night. I wished on her, but they're all inside.
sorry, I wish you'd care. Can we go again? Full of strange ideas, my mind was set despite the fears, but other things got in the way. I never asked that boy to stay. Once upon a time at home, I sat beside the telephone, waiting for someone to pull me through. And at last again, I knew it wasn't you. Last chance! Thank you.